Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Friends of Job, as we pick up in Job, chapter 2, verse 11. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz came from Teman, Bildad from Shuhi, Zophar the Nahamathite. For they had made an appointment together. They had heard, they said, "Have you heard about Job? Yeah, well, we ought to go visit him. Yeah, let's go." And so they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. Noble. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they did not know him. He was such a horrible looking mess. When they first saw him, they didn't even recognize him. And then when they realized that it was Job, they couldn't believe it and they just started weeping. And they tore everyone his mantle, and they sprinkled dust on their heads towards heaven. And they sat down with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, and none of them spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was great. And so these men, his friends, who had come to mourn with him and to comfort him, seeing his condition, weep, and then are speechless. They just sit there in silence for 7 days, really not knowing what to say. At this point, Job opened his mouth, and he cursed the day in which he was born. He did not curse God, but he cursed the day in which he was born. He spoke and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let the day be darkness. Let God not regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it." Job is saying, "I would like to wipe out the day that I was born. I wish that that day never had come. I wish it was blotted off of the calendar." We all of us have those kind of days in our life that we wish we could blot off the calendar. Go back and just blot off certain days. I wish that day had never existed. And with Job, it was the day in which he was born. He wished that that day had never come. He wished somehow he could erase that day. But you can't. And one of the problems that we often face in life is living in the horror of a past day, rather than moving on with life. We live in the defeat of the past, the grief of the past. And in our minds, we do our best to change the past. We torment ourselves. We say, "If I had only done this, why didn't I do that? Things maybe would have been different had I done this. Had I said," and you try to change your mind, you go over it and you torment yourself and torture yourself by the, "Why didn't I? If I'd only done this, if I'd only said that, you know, maybe they'd still be here." And we know what that is, to have those kind of days that we would like to somehow blot off of the calendar if we could, or go back and adjust things to change the outcome. But we can't. What is. As when they came to Pilate and they said, when he had written on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, they went to Pilate and said, change that to, he said he was the King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. I mean, that's it. It's history. You don't change history. But we go forward from here. But here is Job going back to the day that he was born, cursing it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Take it off of the calendar. Let it not come in the number of the months. Blot that day out. But you can't, Job. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to rise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight therefore be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. And neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid the sorrows from my eyes. That cursed day that did not keep me from being born. Oh, if that day had never come, I wouldn't be here. Why did I not die from the womb? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? And this is an important question, but you see, it is born out of being stripped to the bare essence of existence or being. It is a question that every one of us should really be concerned with. Why am I here? Why do I exist? Do I exist just so that I can pursue my own pleasures, my own desires, that I might eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow I die? Or is there a purpose for my existence that has eternal connotations? Am I here because of God's plan and God's purposes? And God's desires. And it marks the difference between men and how they live. If I do not take God into consideration, then I will live by one philosophy of life, and that's to get as much as I can for myself, to live to please myself. If I believe in God and God's eternal purposes for my life, then I live to please God as I live for others. Why am I here? If this life is all, if when I come to the end of my pilgrimage upon this earth and I take my last breath, if that is the end, if at that point it is all over, then I will want to milk life for every experience that I can find. And I will live a total self-centered existence, giving only to get. But if I believe in God and believe in the eternal plan of God and believe that there is life after death, then I will not be looking for all that I can get out of this life as far as money and riches and power and fame and whatever. But I will be making my investments in that eternal life because I realize that this life is just but a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes. I am here for such a short time. I need to take every advantage that is given to me to lay up my treasures in heaven and to store up for the eternal. and I will be living with the eternal consciousness and seeking to please God in all that I do. Willing to make the sacrifices for myself, willing to deny myself in order that I might take up my cross to follow Jesus Christ. Why am I here? Why was I born? And of course, the Bible gives us the answer that we were born, we were created, that we might bring pleasure to God, that we might have fellowship with God, that we might experience eternal life, the gift of God through Jesus Christ. But Job goes on, why did I not die in the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of my mother's belly? Why wasn't I stillborn? Why did the knees prevent me? And why the breast that I should nurse? Now, this phrase, the knees prevent me, is interesting. In that culture, many times if a child was born, they didn't want it. They just let it fall to the ground and they'd abandon the child. Just let it die. And that's the way they got rid of unwanted children. The knees prevented the child from falling on the ground and dying. But why didn't they just let me go? Why didn't they just let me fall to the ground? Why did the knees prevent me? Why was I cradled on the knees? Why did they prevent me from just falling to the ground and dying? And why did they nurse me? Why didn't they just cast me aside and let me die? For now, should I have lain still and I'd be quiet, I would have slept. Then I would have had rest. I would have been with the kings and the counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with the princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden, untimely birth I had not been, if I'd only had some kind of an aborted kind of birth, as infants which never saw the light, where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest. Now, let me point out at this point that Job is crying out of the distress of the loss of his family and the loss of his health, the misery that he's going through. And he is uttering things about life after death of which he knows nothing at all. It is wrong to take these observations of life after death from Job to make scriptural doctrine. Job is not speaking here inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's speaking here inspired by his grief. The scripture is quoting the things that Job is saying, but the things that he is saying are not scripturally true. In fact, Job is saying things that are false from a scriptural standpoint. In fact, when Job and his friends are through trying to find the answers, when this young fellow, Elihu, is finally speaking and God interrupts him, in chapter 38, these men were searching for answers. They were all wrong. They'd all drawn false conclusions. And what is God's rebuke when God begins to speak in 38 verse 2? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? What God is saying, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, all right, answer me a few questions. You've been asking questions, now answer me a few. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures of the earth, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereon were the foundations of the earth fastened, or who laid the cornerstone of it? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of a womb? And when I made the cloud a garment thereof and the thick darkness the swaddling band for it. And then God goes on to say concerning death, verse 17, have the gates of death been opened unto you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? You've been talking about death, Job, you know, things that would be, and hey, have you been there? Do you really know what's going on? Jesus tells us in Luke 16 that there was a certain rich man who fared sumptuously every day, and there was a poor man who was brought daily and laid at his gate, who was covered with sores, and the dogs would come and lick his sores. And he survived on the crumbs that were tossed to him from the rich man's table. And the poor man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Moreover, the rich man died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, or in the grave he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus there being comforted in his bosom, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus unto me, that he may take and dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this heat. Now you see, Job is saying there the wicked cease from troubling. But the Bible says the wicked are like a troubled sea. No, the grave will not be a place of the wicked ceasing from their troubling. Job is talking about things that he doesn't really know. And yet there are those groups that take these declarations of Job and they create a doctrine of soul sleep out of these declarations of Job. But Jesus surely taught us something far different. Job goes on to say, there the prisoners rest together, and they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there. The servant is free from his master. Why then is light given to him that is in misery? Why do I go on living when I'm in such misery? And life to the bitter in soul. Why can't you just die when you want to die? Those which long for death, but it does not come. And they dig for it as though it were a treasure. Job is just expressing his desire, really, as his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He wants to die, but he won't curse God. Which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Oh, if I could only find the grave, how happy I would be. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, in whom God hath hedged in? I can't see the purpose of God. I can't see any reason to go on living. Why do I go on living? Why doesn't God take my life? If he hates me so much as to allow me to have this suffering, why not just get it over with? Why does he allow me to live? For my sighing comes before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. And I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And so Job speaks of the misery, his desire. He cursed the day he was born, wished he had never been born, wondered why he was ever born, and now he wonders why he can't die. At this point, Eliphaz, the first of the men who had come to comfort him, speaks up. And he offers to Job his words. But after Job's tirade, they're not words of comfort. They're words of rebuke. They're words of challenge. And thus begins these discourses between Job and these men. As they, from the human, earthbound perspective, try to understand the reasons why Job is going through the miseries. You see, they don't have the advantage of chapter 1 and 2, which we do. We know that this is a testing, as God is seeking to prove the integrity of his servant. And yet, pain, suffering, and grief are often the chisels that God uses to carve from us that image that he desires. And they are those tools by which my character is developed, by which God's work in me shines forth.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson as we continue with The Friends of Job. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you, watch over you this week, cause your life to just overflow with his love. May you fulfill the purposes of God for your being here by surrendering yourself to God day by day to do his will. And may you have the joy, the satisfaction, and the fulfillment of knowing that you're doing what God would have you to do. Zeroed in the center of his will. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Don Stewart, co-host of the radio program Pastor's Perspective with Pastor Chuck Smith. You know, lately we've been getting a lot of calls on the program from people who are going through some really difficult storms right now. People have lost their jobs, they can't find work, marriages are breaking up. And if that weren't enough, people are calling in asking for prayer because they are just diagnosed with cancer. And I'm amazed when Pastor Chuck speaks right up and he's able to encourage and strengthen a person and persuade them to look to Jesus and not at their problem. That's why I'd like to tell you about a book by Pastor Chuck called When the Storm Hits. This book was written for people who are struggling and going through a difficult time, and it's a book you'll want to pass on to a loved one who might be going through a storm of their own. And when the storm hits, get anchored on Jesus the Rock and don't let go.
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, When the Storm Hits, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online to read a sneak preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.